A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. It's a nice Monday, and I hope you're going to have a good time listening. Hey, guess what? All right, just looking at some stuff on my line. So, guess what? Yesterday was the 25-year anniversary of CARM. So I started it 25 years ago, and praise God. You know, a lot of people have enjoyed it. A lot of people have benefited from it. So what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to have a shindig, a virtual shindig, and in about 3 hours, I'm going to put up a link on the CARM Facebook page, maybe on the CARM homepage as well, and that anybody who wants can get in and participate. You can talk about what CARM's done for you, stuff like that. You know, maybe we'll have Keith, the producer of the radio show, come in. I don't know. And hopefully he'll be able to do that and be kind of, you know, it'd be fun, and I was insulting him before the show. So, I like doing it, my friends. So, I'll be doing that later tonight, and hopefully, if you want to participate, you can join up. All right. Now, hey, guess what? We have five open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. All you have to do is give me a call. Just dial 877-207-2276. 2276. Let me put a code in for somebody because I got to get in here to. I'm doing this live stuff. We had a bit of an issue, and I think my internet is giving me some trouble. So I had to reboot the internet stuff. We're growing here in Boise so much that I think that there's some problems with the internet. That's coming up. I'm going to have to deal with that. So anyway, there's that, and let's see. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276, and want to hear from you. We have five open lines. Now, on Saturday, I was in a debate on the nature and extent of the atonement with Sam Shimon. Sam's a well-known Christian apologist against Islam. He's phenomenal. He's great. And he and I debated. And if you saw that, if you're interested in calling up and we could talk about it a little bit, please feel free to do that. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was good. And I thought I did well. And he'll say he did well. And it's up to the viewer to decide who won, so to speak, the argument. I do believe that there were some things he could not answer, did not answer very well. But hey, there you go. That's my perspective. So if you want to talk about that, please give me a call. 877-207-2276. And let's see, I'm gonna get that up there right there. Good. I'm just getting all my links and stuff done. And okay, we have nobody calling. What's up? Give me a call. Okay, you gotta give me a call, because if you don't, we can't blab about various things. Want to hear from you. And 208-377-3790. Do you hear that ticking sound? Now, Keith, the producer, said he could hear it. I do not know what's going on, but there's something up with my system. And it's happened before, a few months ago, and then it would go away after a day. I do not know what's going on. So if you hear that, it's on my end and not his end. Not the tech end is on my end somehow. And it shows up every now and then. I'm thinking maybe there might be something in the neighborhood where someone's doing something and sending out a signal, because it kind of comes and goes, and I do tech stuff to fix it, and has no effect on anything. And I used to be a tech guy for a while, and so if it comes and goes on its own, that's what it does. So I'm just letting you guys know about that. All right. So let's get on the phones. Let's just jump on with Dave from Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, Dave, welcome. You are on the air.
Hello, Matt. It's been a while since I've called, and it's good to hear your voice. And I wanted to run something by you.
All
Dave,
right.
Okay. I heard a mission speaker this weekend speak about where in Matthew 14, Jesus feeds the 5,000. And that's usually like a header, like maybe in the NIV it says Jesus feeds the 5,000. His take on it was that Jesus did the miracle and the disciples fed the 5,000, which I looked it up. It seemed to check out. I thought that was kind of a neat way to emphasize that. He said the syntax was really wrong, but of course, God empowers us, but maybe in a Bible that does subheadings should be that the disciples fed 5,000. What is your thoughts on that?
We'll have to look at the exact verse to see that, but you know what we have here is Jesus performing the miracle and then the disciples distributing it out. So you could say Jesus fed them, you could say the disciples fed them. It's just a matter of perspective and focus. You know, so if an architect builds a building or designs it, he goes, "Hey, I'm the architect, the builder." You know, it's not exactly the best illustration, but it's the same kind of concept. There's that sound again. So I don't know what's going on, man. I think someone in the neighborhood's got some electronic device. But at any rate, that's what I would say about that. Not a big deal.
Okay. Yeah, it was an interesting. Yeah, it's not a big debate or anything. It was an interesting point because we see the subheading. So I guess my second question would be, what do you think about when a version of the Bible does kind of section off chapters and give a heading? Is that something that should be left out? Or in Bible, like study Bibles and these devotional Bibles that have extra, you know, devotions in there, is that, that's not like where the Bible says don't add a word to it. People know the difference, right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
It's not thin ice theologically, is it?
No, it's not an issue of modifying the Word of God and altering it. No, that's not what's going on. You know, you're doing an outline. What about the numbers, you know, of, you know, John 3:16? Well, the same kind of a thing.
Sure.
It's just a tool used for to help. The issue of not adding to God's Word specifically refers to the book of Revelation. And a lot of people think you can't add to anything in the Bible. Well, that's not what that verse is talking about. It's talking about Revelation. However, of course we're not going to add to the Word of God. We're not going to modify it. That would be bad. They're not modifying it when they give a heading at, you know, the 5,000 fed. It's just breaking things up.
Right.
You know, Jesus walked on the water.
I would hope so.
Yeah. That's all it is.
I would fear, if I was translating a Bible, Matt, I would be fearful that if I had a wrong word, that would be adding something, you know?
That's difficult.
I mean, it would just be like a fear or a concern.
Let me give you an example of something. We know that the Bible says, do not build your house on the sand, build it on the rock, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do, build it on the rock.
Yes,
okay?
Indeed.
There's a culture, I learned this in seminary, a missionary spoke. There's a culture someplace, tribes, people out there someplace, in the world where in order to build a house, you have to build it on the sand. You can't build it on the rock. If you build it on the rock,
exactly,
it'll get swept away. But in the sand, they take these bamboo poles, they dig it down, they hammer it down in there like 10 feet, and it's solid. So what do the translators do when they come to that? Well, a literal translation would be misleading to them. A dynamic, equivalency kind of a thing, the intention, well, would be then you build it on the sand, not the rock. And so which is the correct one? What would Jesus have said in that culture? Probably something like, you know, dig it down in the sand, you know, and he'd have worded it slightly differently. And so...
Interesting.
Yeah, so translating something is tough because... There, you know, like Romans 5:18, there's no verb in the verse. Through one transgression, condemnation to all men. Well, what do you do? You say there resulted condemnation to all men, which is correct. You put the verb in there. Is that altering it? No, it's not. It's clarifying. And also, you'll see sometimes there'll be italics in a verse because
or the amplified in brackets. I appreciate because I know that it's not God's word, but they're emphasizing a meaning. I like that. What's your thoughts on the amplified?
Well, amplified's pretty good, as long as you understand that that's what it's doing. It's doing that.
Right.
So in Greek, for example, the words agathos anthropos is the good man. The agathos, good man, anthropos. But all three of those words are what's called the nominative masculine singular. And it means that, like we have actor, actress. Well, if I say the actress, you know it's talking feminine. And in the context of what we're talking, if I said actor versus, you know, the actor went over there and the actress went over here, you know that the word actor is referring to the males and actress to the female. Well, that's what's happening in the Greek. So you could say ha agathos anthropos, which is the masculine singular, agathos masculine singular, anthropos masculine singular. But what if you took the word man out and just say, aha, agathos, the good, but it's in the masculine. Well, then you could, in the English, you could put the good and then put the word man in italics, because that's exactly what's going on in the Greek. It's the masculine singular that's being spoken of, not men and not women. So they put man in the italics. Is it inaccurate? No, it's not inaccurate. So you see, this is the nature translation. And, you know, in Spanish, yo tengo hambre, you know, I have hunger. But we say, no, I'm hungry in English. So translations are interesting. It's
a needle to thread.
Yes. Right.
Thank you.
So as long as the intention is to accurately represent the meaning and stuff like that without taking liberties, then we're doing a good job. And then on certain areas, we can put notes in and say, originally, it's not build your house on the sand, just build it on the rock. And this is why you have a commentary to explain it. And they go, oh, we get it now. And it's not deceptive. Okay?
Okay.
That help? Okay, good.
Yeah, I like to look at the different translations. And sometimes, you know, one translation, you know, I feel at least speaks to me more accurate, or just my heart, and I hope it's accurate, and I bounce around, and I like to compare them a lot. So
good. I would recommend that you get three Bibles, the NASB, the ESV, and the New King James. And between those three, you'll get the variety of nuances. And then if you have a concern about something, a confusion, then go look up interlinears and do a little bit of research on a particular verse. And it's always the case, you'll learn. Okay.
Yeah, and then I know it's not as accurate, but I like to read, once I've done that, I like to read some of these message type translations, like, I don't know if you've seen the Passion Testament.
Yes.
Or the Voice, and maybe you have strong will against that, but I just like to know what's going on. I like to read it all from all angles.
What I would suggest
is, I don't start with that.
I would suggest is go with what as much as possible with original languages, and you want a translation that's as literal as possible, because God is the one who ordained those
like
words.
Bill Mount, I like to read his.
Yeah, literal
Bill
as possible.
Bill Mount is on Bible Gateway.
Okay, all right. And do an interlinear, and then stuff like that, and then learn. Okay?
The interlinears I have are too tiny, Matt. My eyes can't see it, so I just I try to figure it out.
They're online. You can find them online, too.
Yeah.
All right, buddy?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, Dave.
Take care.
God bless. Okay.
Bye.
All right, let's get to, let's see, Brittany from Louisiana. Brittany, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I was just wondering your perspective on John Piper's his stance on the upcoming election, like what, you know, how he had mentioned that as Christians, maybe we should sit out on this, on voting in this race, because there's just no ideal candidate. So I'm going to hang up, but I just wanted to just to hear your thoughts on it.
Sure, no problem. I don't know that he said that, but if he did, he did. I would say that that people need to vote based on what they see in Scripture, in prayer, and then vote their conscience before God. That's what they need to do. I wouldn't say there's no clear winner or clear Christian candidate, but to not vote is to have the liberals be victorious. So I think we should vote. That's my opinion. Hey, folks, we have one open line, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the line with Lee from Utah. Lee, welcome. You're on the air.
Is that R.D. Jasper Lee?
You, yeah, you're on.
Welcome. Oh, yay. I wasn't sure if I heard the name right.
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a sister who's fallen in with the everyone's going to heaven to universal salvation. And we keep coming down to an argument about God's logic versus man's logic. And it's becoming confrontational. It's hard to speak with her from a biblical stance. I'm kind of, it's opened up for me. It's a blessing in that I'm back in the Word again, better than I've been for a while. So I've got, I'm just getting started in the whole hell research because I've never really done that before. So I would like to find a way to be, to avoid the argument immediately almost, just to be able to speak with her on a, I mean, I believe it's totally wrong, but.
I have a section on Karm, on universalism.
Okay.
And so let me just tell you that universalists are a weird bunch. They profess that God is infinitely loving and will save everybody, and if you don't agree with them, they get hostile.
Yeah. So
they profess love, and then they don't show it. So the group that has treated me the worst of anybody is, are the Satanists. They threatened to kill my family and me. We had the FBI involved. The next worst group that I've ever had to encounter is the Universalists, without a doubt.
Okay.
I found them to be accusatory, vile, full of hatred. And I believe it's because they believe in the superiority of their position, and that they have God figured out. And if you don't agree with how they have it figured out, then you're somehow wrong, and you need to be corrected. Because you are just flat out wrong and you're evil, but you'll be saved anyway.
Okay.
It's the hypocrisy that is prevalent inside of the, I call it the uni, short for universalist, the uni movement. It's horrible. So you could go into different websites, I'm not even going to mention them, where the universalists, and look for my name, and you'll find vitriolic condemnations. Misrepresentations. It's really an interesting phenomenon. So this is what you're up against with your sister. So in order to dialogue with her, you're going to have to ask questions. If she brings it up, say, please show me a verse where it says everyone's going to go to heaven. And then what you can do is go to verses like Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and the image and everyone who receives the mark of his name. What they'll do is they'll take the words in Greek, forever and ever, aionios ton aionion, and they'll say it's the ages of the ages. And what they'll then do is say the word ages means it's a limited time. So the smoke of the torment goes up for a limited time, and then they'll be saved. That's what a lot of them will do. They'll play games. They don't even realize how bad they're doing this, but they play games with the Greek. And I have articles on this. Because it says God's glory is forever and ever. Well, is it only for an age also? Only for a limited time also? So I started showing them the inconsistency of the phraseology. So in order for you to be able to argue with her well, you're going to read those articles and do some homework. And unfortunately, that's just what's necessary.
Yeah,
and so if you go to karm.org/universalism, like I'm doing right now, I don't know if anybody's having trouble with the website. I am... But I think our internet on my end here, I've noticed the past couple of days, is a little buggy. So I'm going to have to contact our internet provider and see. But maybe people can let me know. But if you go to Karm.org, you'll see the articles there, and that's what you got to do. You got to do research. Okay.
Yeah, I've already downloaded your Is Hell Eternal message and started working into that too. So thank you for your help.
All right. Be gentle.
I want her to be up there. I want her to be in heaven with me.
If she believes in universalism, it doesn't mean that she's lost her salvation or that she's not a Christian.
No, I understand that. I didn't believe that would be the issue.
Okay, good. All right.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and you have a great day.
All right. Well, God bless. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Let's get to Vicki from Raleigh, North Carolina, whom we just lost. And something about predestination. Love talking about that. Please call back if you want. Let's get to Nick from Charlotte, North Carolina, whom we just lost. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mike from Pennsylvania. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going, buddy. What do you got?
I spoke to Sam. I just found out that you guys had a debate.
Okay.
And I'm so mad that I just seen it recently. I missed it when it first went down. And okay. I left a comment, and he asked me to Skype him because he didn't like that. I said I thought, you know, he lost and he really didn't understand the points that you bring up. But I believe he gave me a more honest answer. And when I bring up irresistible grace, text like that, and what he said to me was, because we can't answer paradoxes like that, we shouldn't get rid of texts that point to God, you know, wanting to save everyone or wanting to die for everyone. So I thought that was right. I thought that was interesting. But he did bring up John 1, I believe John 1:20 or something like that.
Sure, was it Colossians 1:20? Now, he brought this up in a debate, and I answered him about this. God can desire one thing and arrange another. And I said, if you're going to harmonize, you know, 2 Peter 3:9, he wants all to be saved, with what Jesus says in Mark 4:10-12, when he says he speaks in parables so people will not be saved. I said, so what's going on? You have to analyze the whole thing and come up with a theology that will encompass both. And I think he failed to do that. But in John 1:20, isn't it? Colossians 1:20 talks about him reconciling all things. Is that what you're talking about? I asked him there. I said, did he make peace with Satan? Because he says all things means Satan is included. He said, and I asked him to define reconcile. He wouldn't define reconcile. And then I asked him repeatedly, having made peace with the blood of his cross. So did Jesus make peace with Satan? And I went into the aorist participle. And he, you know, he didn't answer that.
It was John 1:10.
What's that? John 1:10?
He says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So he says, he told me, who would the world be?
Yeah, we went over this stuff too, because I told him and showed him from Matthew 15:24, Jesus says he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not sent to the whole world and all the nations, because it's a covenantal thing. Then the Jews rejected the Messiah, so we the Gentiles were grafted in. So he said in John 3:16 that the world means every individual who ever lived. Well, I went to 1 Samuel 3:14, which refuted that. And he went back and forth. So, it was interesting. Maybe he now go at it again. You want to hold on? We've got a break coming up. You want to hold? Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I'll hold out.
All right, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Mike, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, man. So where were we?
Yeah. So I was really disappointed that he didn't understand the covenantal aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love Sam. I just think he's flawed in that area. But I think he did very well. And my next question was, I had sent you an email. I don't know if you received it. Of someone that I follow, and he is on a tirade with this full preterism thing. And if you were interested in debating that topic, he was more than available to do it with you. But I sent a link in there to his latest debate. He has some pretty compelling arguments with contemporaries that he bring up from that time period, speaking about their views on resurrection and how they understood it. I thought they were different. I haven't heard them before, but if you have time, maybe you could check that out.
I'm willing to debate it, but it's just, I'm just going to go to one pericope. I'm going to go to Acts 1, 9 through 11. I'm just going to stay there.
Yeah.
And it'll make him mad, because, you know, it says that Jesus came, you know, will return in the same way he went up, into the clouds, into the sky. That's how he's going to return. That's what it says. So yeah. All his machinations about everything, it doesn't mean this or that. I'm just going to say, but that's what it says right here. I'm just going to go over it and over it. He'll get upset because it refutes full preterism. It refutes it. I'm just blown away that people just, you know, the full preterists will just say, well, you know, in the clouds of witnesses. That's not what it says. You know, they just do this weird stuff. So if he wants to debate me on it, it'd be 1 Corinthians or Acts 1, 9 to 11. And I have debated some of these guys before on it, and what they do with Acts 1, 9 to 11 is atrocious. It's atrocious. Yeah. So you
have some online?
No, I don't know. I've done so much over the years. I don't know what I've got and don't have a lot
probably
of times.
Lost it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, yeah. I mean, if you get it, well, his last one was on the resurrection, and I don't know if you know who Mike Holloway is. He's a futurist, but they had a debate. It was pretty good. It was a pretty good debate. So if you have time, maybe check it out. And if you're interested, maybe hit me back on the email.
Sure.
You take care of yourself, Matt. I appreciate you and what you do.
All
God
right,
bless.
Man. God bless. All right, that was Mike from Pennsylvania. Folks, we have three open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207. They're dropping like flies. Let me try the number again. 877-207-2276. Four open lines. Give me a call, folks. Let's talk. All right, Dave from North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
I hate to ask you a question like this since there's so many more important questions to ask. But in this day and time and the current political theme, the socialists are trying to take over and tell us what we need to do and what we can and can't do.
Right.
And there's a gun bill that's H.R. 5717 that is currently going forward. As a follower of Christ, Romans 13:1 tells us to be subject to the government and what they tell us to do, as long as it doesn't go against God's will.
Right.
As a Christian, if the laws change and they come after our weapon, our gun, what should we do? Should we try to hide them? Should we give in and do exactly as they say? I'm a little perplexed because I've gotten into being that's my recreation now as an older fella, and I can't water ski and I can't climb mountains anymore, so I started target practicing there at the house.
Let's say that you moved to France. Something happened, and you got to go to France for 2 years, let's say. Would you obey the laws there? Let's say a private citizen can't own a weapon, unless out hunting, whatever, can't carry, things like that. You would, because that's the laws of the land.
Yeah.
If they pass laws and they repeal the Second Amendment, and we have to give up our weapons, then biblically, we would have to give up our weapons. That's my view, all right? But let's not let it get it to that. In Luke 22:36, Jesus said, whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag, and whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and buy one. This is Luke 22:36. So we could say that the right of self-defense, that's what most commentators agree that that's talking about, is something that is commanded by Scripture. So then, how do we apply that? We have the right of self-defense. Well, we have the right of self-defense. If someone comes into my home, I have the right to defend my wife, my property, etc., in my home, and I will. Well, okay, so does it mean I have to? Well, not necessarily, and there's variations in things. So what do we do if the government says you can't have guns? Well, then we're going to ask, how do we protect ourselves? Well, they protect themselves in other countries without guns. How do they do that? Baseball bat? Mace? You know, slingshots? You know, I don't know. And so it becomes a bit of a difficult topic to get through. So what I say to people is this. Historically speaking, when they take away your guns, they take away your rights. Because if you have your guns, you're able to protect your rights. The preamble and the... I recommend people read the preamble and read the Constitution of the United States, but it talks in there about our rights coming from God, not from man. If they come from God, we have the right to defend ourselves, but if they come from man, then we have the right to defend ourselves unless they say we don't have the right to defend ourselves. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
And for the listeners here, I'm going to talk about socialism a little bit because they need to hear and understand about socialism. I'm going to break down socialism very, very cleanly, very succinctly. The more socialism you have, the less rights you have. Socialism is the increase of governmental power and redistribution of property and or wealth. In order to do that, it passes laws to confiscate things from others, which with each law that's passed, you have less power, less authority, you have less freedom. Socialism is an increase of state power with a reduction of our individual rights. And it leads to communism, which is complete state power with very minimal human rights. So just think of socialism in that those terms. The more socialism, the less freedom you have. The less freedom you have, the more you're the slave of the state. That's how it works in socialism. That's what it is. I've been studying it, and... that's the summation of what socialism is. So we need to defend our rights. The Christians need to be active. They need to be protesting. And as I've said before, what I believe should happen, there needs to be a national organization where we Christians, on September 1st, whatever day you want to call it, but September 1st, all the people with the last name A, that starts with the letter A, they go out to the state capitol, or depending on where they are in the states, to town halls and start petitioning with signs. And then the next day, people whose last names start with a B go out there and do that. Every state, every capital, all over the United States, and in different cities, like if you're in L.A., go to the mayor's office and do the same thing peacefully. And when you leave, the place should be cleaner than what it was when you entered. And it needs to happen all over the United States. It's one of the ways that we could unite and start protesting against the encroachment of liberalism and anti-Christian movements and thought. We want our country back. And we need lawyers involved in something like this who can then say, here's the things you can do and you can't do. Everybody pays like $5 a month to participate, so that goes into a fund for lawyer costs and lawsuits that are going to be in and get people out of jail because, you know, the left's going to lie and people get arrested. It's just what happens when you protest. This is what needs to happen in the United States. It's one of the things that we can do as Christians. And I believe that.
Yeah.
And if I was a national figure at a high level, I would be pushing for this. I'd be moving that way.
Yeah.
But I'm not. So.
And Matt, I want to challenge your listeners to Google H.R. 5717. It's a 260-page gun violence bill that will take away a lot of our property if it goes through.
Yep, that's
and
right.
Some of the things that you own, they're going to come and get them if they get their way.
Yep.
So, thank you for your time. And the next time I call, I hope to have a deeper theological question about doctrine or something really, really good.
But this is important. What you raised is very important. If the United States falls, countries all over the world are going to fall, and the encroachment of socialism and communism will take over and make the preaching of the gospel that much more difficult. It's important. What you
You're
asked
right.
is very true and very necessary. So God bless. All right.
And thank you, Matt. God bless
all right.
you.
God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, before we get to the callers, just let me say really quickly that yesterday was the 25th anniversary of CARM. That was the 25th of October. So CARM, I started it 25 years ago. So what we're going to do tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, is going to have a CARM 25th anniversary virtual celebration, which means I'm just going to open up a room for chat. video, and people can be on YouTube and Facebook chatting, and they can say what they think about CARM, congratulations, things like that. I'm also going to provide a link for people to be able to come in live and get on the air, and it won't be on radio, but it'll be on streamed out there on the net, and you'll be able to get on if you have a camera. And you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. And I can put you into the discussion, and we can do that. I'm going to put the information up tonight, about a half hour before, maybe an hour before the event. And then at 9 p.m. I'll turn everything on, and we're just going to talk for an hour or two and have people come in. So it's the 25th anniversary celebration of CARM.org, the ministry, CARM.org. And hopefully you will show up. Just remember, check out CARM.org Facebook for the main bit of info. All right, let's get to Ryan from Utah. Ryan, welcome. You're on the air with Matt Slick.
Hey, Matt. First off, congratulations on your 25th anniversary. My hat is off to you. Congratulations for your pursuit of truth and your success in that avenue. My question is, especially this time when we're obviously getting ready to vote or have already voted, what's your feeling and your personal persuasion for joining arm in arm with people who are probably like-minded politically, but might differ religiously? Obviously, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and especially this time when it seems like a lot of people I talk with who are more liberal tend to doubt that our religious freedoms are being challenged, but I personally think that it's extremely important. What are your thoughts?
Well, you see, you raise a good question. And like, you're a Mormon, and I don't believe you're Christian. I'm not insulting you. I just don't believe you are. And I could not support you in your actions in something that would promote Mormonism. But if I saw you, say we knew each other, and I saw you out there at a protest against, abortion, for example. I'd be your friend, and if, hey, you need water, you need this, and I wouldn't, push you out of line and things like that. So I could, be civil and, stuff like that. I think that's the realm that we can agree in. I could support someone, even if they're Roman Catholic, or even if they're atheist in that, and say, okay, we can work together. We have to be careful how much that work together is. But, it's a toughie. Situations vary and issues vary, so it's a tough one.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Try it again. Go ahead. Are you there? Hello? Oh, man. Let's give another few seconds. Maybe call back. We got a full house here, though. Ryan, can't hear you. I guess we lost him. All right, let's move along. Let's get to, sorry about that, Ryan. Let's get to Mike from Utah. Hey, Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt, and congratulations on your ministry anniversary. My question has to do with a comment Joe Biden makes a lot of systemic racism in America. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, would you consider the fact that Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, believed in eugenics. Do you know where I'm going with this? And Planned Parenthood funds the Democratic Party. Wouldn't that make them systemically racist?
Yeah. Yeah, she was an evil woman, and part of what she wanted to do was have the black community have abortions so that they didn't grow as much. And this is known, and so that's it's a very evil thing, period. And the Democratic Party is known to be racist. They're the ones that were behind the KKK and segregation in the 50s and 60s. So, all they can do is homework, and the leftist media doesn't bring this stuff out. They make instead of answering an issue, they turn it around and try to attack you with it. And it's a bad technique, And this is what they're doing. So, and I agree with Trump that the leftist media is an enemy of the people. I believe it. I really do. It's an enemy of the people of the United States. But with the Margaret Sanger thing, you're right. It's a racist issue to begin with. And abortion, besides being a horrendous act, is could be made to say racist also. Okay?
And then the irony of Joe Biden claiming to be Catholic and promoting abortion for on demand. It's yeah. just, have you ever heard of the situation where Mother Teresa confronted Bill Clinton when she left the stage after receiving the Nobel Peace Prize?
What'd she say? And
she told him, stop killing babies. You know, she got right in his face and
good for
told
her.
Him that to his face. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's an, you know, why is it that God has not taken our country out? Why has he not destroyed us? They're promoting homosexuality and killing the unborn. You know, if you kill, what is it? I don't remember the exact, you get the point. If you kill a baby otter, you can get 5 years in jail. I'm not saying it's exactly right, but there's a lot of these laws. If you kill a baby eagle, you can get 10 years in jail. You kill a human, it's celebrated. You know, the hypocrisy is incredible. You know, it's just so bad. Yeah.
And do you see a similarity with the Dred Scott decision and trying to overthrow the Roe v. Wade decision?
I haven't studied that enough to be able to make a comment. But, you know, I am concerned a great deal about the issue of abortion. We need to protect the young, not kill the young. Protect the innocent, not kill the innocent. We need to not make the life in the womb pay the price because of the sins of the parents. And what I think is abhorrant is when a woman says that the life growing in her has value if she deems it has value. That's slavery. It's another form of slavery. So that's what they would do and oppress and stuff. Yeah, it's bad. So, okay. All right, brother?
Okay, thank you, Matt.
All right, man. God bless.
Bye.
All right, let's get to, that'll be Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Matt. Matt, I'd like to get your take of 2 Corinthians 4:6, where it says, New King James, I don't know, maybe you can call it up. I'm sitting outside and it's turned dark.
For God said, you know what, the light shone out of the darkness.
Light that, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, is that like when God brings us to salvation?
Well, it's probably a reference to Genesis. Genesis 1, let light shine out of the darkness. Let God said, let there be light. There was light. And light was good. It separated the light from the darkness. So it's probably an allusion, not I-L-L, but A-L-L. It's alluding to that. It says, as the one who has shown in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of Christ. Just as God gave light in the real world, he gives light in the spiritual world as well. And the light is Jesus, because he's the light of the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what I forgot. I was just wondering, it was just one of those verses that are amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes you think on. And praise the Lord for your ministry, Matt. God bless. You're wonderful. Praise the Lord. You stayed straight, Matt. You stayed on course. You didn't go ecumenical or ecumenical or whatever they call it.
Oh, no. I have to answer to God.
Okay.
Oh, no. I answer to God, not to man. Or unless that's my wife, you know. But anyway,
yes, sir, I believe that immediately. And I'm going to watch your debate with the that fella, about the atonement. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
okay,
he actually said some heresy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, ma'am. God bless.
Same Harrison. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Matt.
All right. God bless. All right. Let's get to Just a Wretch from the East Coast. Hey, man. How are you doing?
How you doing, Matt? First of all, happy birthday.
For the Carm, that's right. That's right, the ministry's 25 years old yesterday. Praise God.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
Thanks.
He's got something in the plan for you.
Now, you were
talking earlier about Christians in politics, and I've only got a couple of minutes here, I know. So, I agree with you with everything you said about Christians should be doing that, I really think at this point we're just beating our heads against the wall in that way. You know, a Christian can't really make it in politics anymore because they just ask you one question and you answer truthfully, and immediately half of the people are going to deny you your affirmation or whatever. You got to answer truthfully.
So. We still need to be truthful. We still need to get in politics, and we still need to trust God through it. If we were to say, well, let's not give it a shot because we have to answer truthfully, it won't work. No, we've got to get out there. We've got to do it.
No, well, I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it. I don't consider myself a pessimist so much as I do a realist.
Okay.
And I just think that going into it, we really have to know what we're facing, and we're facing a Goliath. We really are, and people need to understand that going in. Christians, the only thing that the Bible promises Christians really in this life is persecution.
That's right.
So be ready for it.
That's right. What we need to do is be as forthright, pushing forward the truth of God's word and standing on it. And let me tell you, I've been in places in my life where speaking the truth has cost me a great deal. And it did cost me, and it was very difficult. Flat out, it was. But it worked out, even through the hurricanes. So we got to move forward, okay?
Amen. I know we're about out of time here. Just a really quick follow-up on that same kind of topic is I hear a lot from Christian people that I know, you know, and I've asked about this before, about, you know, they don't want to vote for Trump, or they don't want to vote. And while I understand what they're saying, you know, I don't think Trump is perfect by any means. You know, he has his flaws, but I feel like it's our duty to, you know, do what we can.
Let me add this. If Biden gets in, the next one in power is Kamala Harris, who's a professed Marxist. And if she gets in, who's going to become the vice president? What if she were to say Pelosi was to be the vice president? Can you imagine what the terror would be? The night of the living dead. It'd be horrible to get these Marxists in. Oh, absolutely. So this is why we have to think ahead. I don't want Kamala in there. I don't want Biden in there. I'm not saying that Trump is the great guy. I'm just saying I don't want those other people in there. They're socialists. They're going to strip our Constitution away from us. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, better dead than red.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We're out of time, man. God bless, okay?
God bless.
All right. Hey, folks. Thanks for listening. By His grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow. Remember, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, virtual shindig for the CARM celebration. Go to the CARM.org Facebook page for information. God bless. Talk to you later. Bye.